shot, or one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted.
Welcome back. It's The Drive with Matthew, Jimmy, and Chuck on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Brought to you by Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown on 2000 and Tuesday. One of the most amazing songs that's ever been written, performed. You ever had mom spaghetti? It's all over my shirt. 2000 Tuesday's definitely been my favorite.
I wish I knew what the heck you were talking about, both of you.
I was in the prime of my life. I think I was 12 when this song came out.
See, I love the idea of 2000.
You know, it's really not difficult to figure out. It came out in 2002.
Well, no, I'm just trying to think. I was either 11 or 12, just depending. I don't remember when.
I mean, I love that it's 2000 and Tuesday, because there are a lot of songs that I would remember from then.
Yeah.
But he's going to play all, this is just an excuse.
Yes.
To play like Spoon.
Welcome to my world.
Like, I mean, really. That's out how of all the songs that came out in 2002, Spoon. I have to hear.
Spoon.
I'm not happy. Sorry. I'm fine with that.
You're also
that one.
Seeing into the future.
I'm not happy. Oh, really?
Yes, you are.
Oh. I see what you mean.
It's like he knows.
It was an example. Uh-huh. You're going to play something like Spoon, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
I bet he does.
I heard you talk about a group I don't even know. Iwick Terrell.
You're embarrassing me in front of our guests.
Iwick Terrell, Red Reporter. How are you?
Somebody needs to go back and watch 8 Mile like 35 times.
That's what I'm saying.
I said I was fine with that. That one. You don't understand. It's too long to go into. Chuck does this.
He does.
One day he'll play the greatest songs for the entire show, and then I show up and it's Thin Lizzy Tuesday or something. I mean, he does this all the time. Anyway, I'm sorry. Better. I'm a little cranked up today. Not synthetically. I'm just.
I didn't know they still made
Rick,
that.
Help me here, will you please help me?
I'm just gonna let you keep paddling water.
Holy cow!
I'm still thinking about 2000. I got peak Adam Dunn and Austin Hearns' rookie year on my mind right now.
Oh, see? There you go. See, 2000 Tuesday
means something different to the Red Reporter. That's what it means. Adam Dunn. Yeah.
Glory days.
All right. See, you could play Glory Days.
That's 1984, man.
Yeah, I know. I know when it is. Okay, let's get to this. All right? Let's get to, you know what I want to talk about. We've already had a conversation with our buddy Emilio San Martin about this, another baseball expert, as I consider you to be. Can you please tell Tony Clark something that would make us all feel better? Can you do that?
That's going to be interesting, because what's been interesting about this entire owner approved proposal that is getting lobbed back to the Players Association today. The Players Association reached an agreement with MLB like a month and a half ago on
right.
how to modify salary structure and everything else for how this season's going to go. They signed off on it. They gave them a plan, and both sides said, "Hey, cool, we're in." And here we are, having got zero baseball played since that happened, and the owners and the commissioner are coming back and asking for a radically different proposal, one that pretty well throws and scraps the first one completely, and also kind of flies in the face of how negotiations have gone throughout the course of this current collective bargaining agreement. So I think the players have a lot of gripes, I guess is the way to put it. And unfortunately, the way that this is coming out and the timing of all sports being on hiatus at this moment and everything else, and everybody wanting so badly to have something to watch, the players caving in on this, it's either they cave in on this or they come out kind of looking like the bad guys, which is unfortunate because they've already given a lot of concessions in this. And for some reason, ownership, which has made just billion after billion after billion the last handful of years, is somehow still thinking they've got the ability and the want to kind of push the losses onto the players, which is a little bit frustrating on all parties, honestly.
Yeah, and that The crucial thing that you just said is it's going to make the players look like the bad guys.
And they always do.
I just thought of something, though, while you were explaining all that, Wick. So they a month and a half ago, they come up with this agreement, right? The two sides.
Right.
Why did they have to go and do another one? Why did this even happen?
I think, honestly speaking, it's in large part because it looks more and more likely that there will not be fans in stands at all in any capacity for the rest of the season, which is something that I think they kind of thought might be a starting point for a 2020 season back when they made this negotiation. But now it's the lost revenue in that regard that teams are certainly worried about. And so they've come back with a more revenue-sharing model than kind of a scaled-back version of the existing salaries, which, you know, in theory, it's a feasible plan if you would have had revenue sharing in place for when baseball was doing very well.
Yes.
And that wasn't the case. And the percentage of player salaries versus revenue has actually gone down significantly over the last couple of years as owners have continued to rake in more and more money, but not kind of cutting in the players at the same rate that they did 5, 10, 15 years ago. And that's where the players are getting frustrated, especially when you factor in that there's the collective bargaining agreement negotiations that are going to have to happen before the end of the 2021 season. Also, this is kind of almost a precursor to that because it's, once again, ownership trying to make it more about money than it is about actually playing baseball. And that's where the players kind of end up either fighting for their union rights, which has got them to where they are, or looking like the bad guys. And that's really frustrating for me specifically because I'm definitely pro-player in this regard.
And I feel like most people are pro-player. Yeah. But it's the owners that make them look like the bad, which we've seen with a lot of sports where the owners are just kind of hiding behind the door and they're doing their Mr. Burns laugh. What does your gut say is going to happen? Do you think the players are going to cave in? Or, we kind of talked with Emilio a couple minutes ago about it. Should they just lock themselves in a room and work it out like adults, which they probably won't?
I put it this way. I don't think that it's going to happen this week. I don't think that the agreement that the owners and the commissioner lost to the Players Association yesterday is going to get approved. I do think, in theory, this is the first step in that process, though. And there's going to be more back and forth. The question becomes, how ready are teams going to be if and when it takes another week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks to be able to say, hey, we still got enough time to then go to spring training and then pull off a season that'll start at some point in July. Otherwise, you've got to completely rework the entire existing plan that's on the table as is, the structural part of the season plan, not the money sharing plan, but how the actual rest of 2020 would look is all dependent on getting started in early July. And so obviously the later this runs, the fewer opportunities you've got to kind of get things started at that point. And that's the one thing that I would be watching as well, because I think they will reach an agreement, but I would be basically shocked if anything close to the one that got presented to the union today is what they eventually sign off on.
Now, without getting too deeply into Major League Baseball's finances, they're claiming 40% of their revenue comes from in the stadium. Tickets, concessions, souvenirs. That, knowing how some of the TV contracts around the league go and knowing how they divvy up that money, that doesn't seem like a legit claim number to me. It seems very high.
Yeah, that's where you get a little fudgy in this, is because they basically strip out TV revenue as something completely different than their actual revenue. And so many of the teams actually have vested interest and ownership, at least in part, of the regional networks that claim that revenue. So they're basically making it through a different channel, but it's not reported as just the team making it because it's a subsidiary that owns part of the TV, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, it's a numbers game more than it is an actual total dollar amount game, and that's where it gets a little fudgy. Because one way or another, if baseball is being played in empty stadiums, yeah, you're going to take a hit on gate attendance not being there and ticket revenue. But TV ratings are going to be through the roof. And they do have an ownership, in most teams at least, not all teams, but most teams will be making money almost through a back channel because they own those TV rights as well.
Not only that, but as somebody that is kind of in the business of advertising, if you think when, let's say baseball comes back July 4th weekend.
Yeah.
If you don't think that every sponsor in America will pay 10 times what they normally would pay for ads, you're crazy.
It's like a Super Bowl spot,
you're
basically
crazy. I mean, and they will make their money back on that. Way more than ticket sales, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you look at just the last, 3 weeks when The Last Dance came back and ESPN started televising Korea baseball organization games.
Right.
Those are dominating the sports world right now. Yeah, they're good products. There are things that people would have had significant interest in if they'd come out right now in normal circumstances. But they're the two things on TV that sports fans have an outlet to that are new. If baseball comes back in July, there will be no basketball. There will not be any football.
Right.
Hockey is not going to be played. There's nothing else on. Yeah, you're going to take a hit because people aren't showing up. They're not just buying tickets, but they're not paying for parking. They're not buying beer and popcorn and everything else. But every TV is going to be watching baseball games, and you've got a product that's not just a once-a-week thing. It's an every-single-day thing. And,
right.
I think the opportunities there, if they can get it worked out, it's going to be a financial hit, certainly, and a half-season versus 162-game season will as well. But the other part of this that's kind of been brushed under the table, they're talking about expanded playoffs, too, and adding more teams to the postseason. If and when they get to the postseason, assuming nothing else happens and the season goes as widely planned, that extra postseason revenue is something that they're going to have that's going to be completely different than they've ever had before also.
Right.
That's something that I think
has
got to be a big factor in this.
They're going to be fine.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't see much of ownership going bust over this.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And like I mentioned, it's one part 2020, but it's also that looming CBA bargaining agreement for next year as well. And anything the players union gives up this year, they're going to have to fight incredibly hard to get back to that next year. And that's the stage for the next, 5, 7, 8 years in baseball.
All right. Now, let's assume that all this goes smoothly and baseball is going to come back.
Yay. That was the collective.
That was really good.
That was easy.
How exciting. And that means teams are going to have spring training, right, to get ready.
Right.
And I saw something on your wonderful Twitter account that I find so amusing and serious at the same time, is they might hold spring training at Great American Ballpark? Really?
Well, the fact is they can't send, 50, 60, 100 if you count staff and everybody else.
Yeah.
They can't send them all to Arizona.
Right.
Because if they can, every other team can. And then suddenly you're basically defeating the purpose of this entire proposal.
Right.
So they got to find a way to do it either at home or close to home. And obviously Great American Ballpark has great facilities for an active roster playing a baseball game. But they don't have multiple fields. They don't have cages to let everybody hit inside and underneath.
Right.
And having space for all these people, when space is such a valuable thing at this point in time, means they're going to have to find somewhere else to really have a true mimic of spring training. And so now the question is, where can they find multiple fields or multiple access, and how far would they be willing to go to do that? Not to mention, they got to find a state that's going to be open enough to let them do that, and whether or not Ohio will be in 3 weeks, or whether or not Kentucky is first, or if they go over to Indiana, who really knows at this point? But they've got to be scouting all those options, and every team's up against this as well.
Right. It's the level playing field, get it, for all the teams. For all the teams, they got high schools around Great American Ballpark.
Sure.
And the weather is fine now. So
just build batting cages.
They don't need to go anywhere else. They built a whole freaking basketball court for Michael Jordan on the Burbank lot. They can build spring training
and
facilities.
That was in 98.
Yeah.
That's 22 years ago.
I think they won't have too many options. They won't be short on options, is what I'm trying to say, as I stumble over myself. We'll get a chance to actually make this decision. But it's certainly a big, big part of this, because they're going to want to make sure that they can get as many people ready to go as quickly as possible.
All right. Here's something I think is funny. We always try to close with something on your Twitter account. Wick is a big soccer fan. Also,
yeah, Arsenal guy, I think, right?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. All right. I agree. Unfortunately,
okay.
Yes.
Stop. All right, just stop. Come on.
Just saying.
But
Arsenal.
I saw from Goal on Twitter, the Premier League will tell players to. I just saw this. Turn your face away in a tackle to minimize the risk of spreading coronavirus, according to the Telegraph.
What?
Yeah. So when a guy comes to tackle you in soccer, turn your face away. And Wick said, cannot wait for the first VAR review of a flop roll induced from being breathed upon too heavily. Yeah.
I love it when people make rules and stuff like this that have never stepped foot on a field or a pitch. It's great. So I mean, just turn your head.
If they did that in La Liga, Neymar would roll all the way to France.
Hello. Da-dum, boom.
One of my favorite parts about watching European soccer specifically is the inevitable screaming huddle around the referee after every call, regardless of what or how bad the call was.
And yeah.
I'd be interested to see teams' reactions the first time their instinct tells them, go make gestures and scream and yell in three different languages at the referee.
But you got to be 6 feet away from him at the same time.
6 feet away. Exactly. Yeah. Yelling from the sidelines at this point.
Or 4 meters, whatever it'll be in Europe. Yeah. All right. As always, you're the greatest. Thanks. Have fun playing golf. And we'll talk to you next week when we know more about how these two sides hate each other.
Yeah, I think it should be a pretty eventful week in the baseball world. Hopefully,
okay.
It is between now and next week.
Cool. Thanks, man.
See you guys.
All right. Rick Terrell. All right. When we come back, a special guest in our studio, our buddy Josh Cummins from Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown, one of our partners, sponsor of our show.
Absolutely.
Was up here in near our studio in our offices taking care of something. And he's going to come sit down for a couple of minutes with us.
We've got enough room in the studio.
We sure do. I mean, it's perfect, actually. This is The Drive on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300-92.5.
And it's brought to you by Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown. But superstardom's close to postmortem. It only grows harder. Homie grows hotter. He blows.